it's more or less implied everywhere in the scriptures that there are two levels to life, the earthly level and the heavenly level. So the natural and the supernatural. But in today's reading, and in these readings that we'll be having this week as we ponder the Bread of Life discourse, that will not just be implied, it will be really explicit. And Jesus will very deliberately bring us from the natural level to the supernatural level and show the superiority of this higher level. It's very clear in today's reading. The crowd saw Jesus multiplying the loaves. We heard that story on Friday. And then in the middle of the night, he walked across the water. The crowds didn't see that, just the apostles saw that. And this gospel takes us to the next day, it says, where the crowd is left on the wrong side. And Jesus isn't there, the apostles aren't there. So they go in search of him. What's their motive? Well, they want to see Jesus. Maybe they want to see him work another sign. Maybe they want more bread. Maybe they want more of anything Jesus has. We don't know it at first. But you see this two-level interpretation is very important because both are going on at the same time. I mean, we do eat food. We do eat every day, and we need to eat, and we should eat. But that's not the reason why we're here. It's not the highest motivation. Man does not live on bread alone. That was the Alleluia verse, the gospel acclamation. We don't live on bread alone. We live on bread, but not only bread. We eat, but that's not all we do. So the work to try to keep in perspective our earthly needs and our earthly work and our heavenly needs and heavenly work, well, this is really a constant project of ours. How much energy should we put into taking care of our own body and our own physical needs? How much energy should we put into taking care of the needs of others? First, our own families and loved ones, and then the poor, the people who are in need, the sick, the hungry. Well, we should do that. We must do that. That's part of being a Christian. It's part of being, it's part of just anyone living in this world. If we don't eat, we die. And if we don't help others eat, they die. But that's not the only thing. Jesus addresses the crowd when they finally find him on the other side, on Capernaum's side of the sea. They ask him, well, Rabbi, when did you get here? They're concerned, or curious, I should say, about the boats, and they just want to figure out how he got there ahead of them. He completely ignores that level, and he says to them, this is a very clear message of Jesus, distinguishing earthly and heavenly. He says to them, amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. So he exposes before them and before us the possibility that we could be seeking Jesus, not because we are seeking a higher life with him or from him, but because we want our earthly needs met. We want more loaves. Now, is that a bad thing to ask the Lord for food if you're hungry? No, it's not a bad thing. But it's not the only thing. So this is what Jesus says next. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. See, two levels. There's earthly food, there's heavenly food. Don't work for earthly food. Well, he's not saying that in the absolute sense. Otherwise, what about everybody who works? Why do we work? We work so that we can provide for ourselves and our families, so that we can have food. And he says, don't work for food. Well, we have to work for food. Otherwise, we won't have any. But much more important, to work for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Now he's preparing for what's coming up in the next few days, the whole revelation of the bread of life, which is Jesus himself. They don't get it at first, of course, and they're at least asking something more than give us more bread. They ask, what can we do to accomplish the works of God? What are we supposed to do? You're talking about something spiritual. Well, what are you talking about? And Jesus says, well, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. The work of faith. The work of allowing God to be in charge. That's the work. I mean, God does the work. But if we don't believe, then that work can't bear fruit. It can't make progress in us. So faith is essential for being able to transcend the earthly plane, earthly needs. Otherwise, all of our work will be about satisfying earthly needs or addressing earthly problems. Today's first reading gives us the example of Stephen. Remember, we met Stephen Saturday. And the reason why Stephen was mentioned is because of the problem of distribution of food. There was uneven or unfair distribution of food. And the apostle said, well, we can't neglect the word of God to deal with this problem on the natural level. Give us some names. Give us some people to solve this problem. And they came up with these seven names, and we call them the seven. And Stephen is the first one, a man filled with faith and the Holy Spirit. We don't have any account in the scriptures of Stephen actually working on the distribution of food. In fact, we don't have any account of any of the seven doing the job for which they were appointed. Does it mean that they didn't do it? No. They probably did. And, you know, we don't have any more accounts about the church arguing about food. So we can presume that that problem was solved fairly easily. But what we do have is Stephen, especially, but also Philip. Stephen is a proclaimer of the word. How does he feed the people? After he finishes organizing the distribution of food, he proclaims the word. He becomes an evangelist. It says here, Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. I don't know what those great wonders and signs were, but probably healing, probably exorcism, and perhaps even multiplication of food. But it was all those wonders and signs were not simply to satisfy earthly needs. They were to point to what is greater, the heavenly life. Meaning to point to the life we receive in the crucified and risen Jesus. And this is what they attack him for. They don't attack him for healing people. They don't attack him for driving out demons or for feeding people or caring for the poor. They attack him because he's proclaiming Jesus Christ as someone higher than Moses and the law. And in fact, he is guilty of that. Stephen can't say, no, I didn't proclaim Jesus risen from the dead. Yes, he did. But notice what it says as they drag him into the council or before the Sanhedrin. It says that his face was like the face of an angel. It's a kind of code language, meaning he's intent on heavenly things. He's focused on the Lord and on the will of God. He's not focused on surviving every earthly problem or answering every earthly need. Because the angels are not doing that. The angels spend their time worshiping God, serving God. So it's another clue to this point that I'm maybe overstating, that there's these two levels and we are called to focus on the higher level. We don't neglect the lower level, but we understand that it's passing. We understand that after we eat, we're satisfied, and then in a few hours, we have to eat again. So we can't, and in fact, at some point, we will die and we won't be eating anymore, so that can't be the most important thing in the whole world. The most important thing in the whole world is our union with God. That's what the angels know. That's the most important thing in the world, worship of God. So that's what we're now we're told this. This is the very beginning of the third week of Easter, and throughout this week we're going to be seeing this contrast between earthly and heavenly, and the superiority of what's heavenly. So let's set our hearts, without neglecting our earthly duties, we set our hearts on our life with God in glory.